Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It is.
And I gotta say, Chris, I'm really surprised you were willing to come back here after all of that.
Okay, alright, so I learned that not everyone likes it when you play Devil's Advocate with the side of the argument that 95% of our audience is against. Maybe even like 98%, maybe.
If I were to break it down mm-hmm. for you where I think you went wrong.
Yeah.
I think it was, and this is just looking at your argument.
Okay.
Because I read some responses.
Yeah.
Some were very eloquently worded, some were not.
Yes.
And so I do think, and I told you last week, I agree with you that I don't think you should cancel the network. I'm done canceling right. the network. I want all the stuff on the network.
Right.
And so, I do think, though, if you're willing to, alright.
Sure.
That's, you know what? I encourage it for you to cancel the network, because that sends out what I would like to say to WWE without me having to cancel the network.
Right. Also, you watch the network on my account. So you're not even willing to cancel a network that isn't even yours.
It is the Classy Ring Attire account.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, all right.
It's a business expense.
Right. On my card. On my debit card.
It's a business expense.
Okay. Just shows up on my balance every month.
I mean, if you were on the...
Right.
If you were waving the flag of... account cancellation.
Right. Okay, and see, here's
I'd be like, whatever, it's free in February.
Okay, fine. Let's just chalk this all down to, I'm a grumpy old man. I'm almost 27, but I act like I'm, like, 65.
Okay.
You know, and I'm ready to, like, you know, just sit on a rocking chair on the porch and yell at kids as they drive by and their overly loud music.
Well,
So, my thing is, like, if you're gonna cancel the network, and you're mad at it, cancel it, you gotta freaking let the whole entire world know.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. Like,
well, I mean, okay, here's the thing. If I cancel the network, it's because I'm done with WWE, pretty
right.
much, you know?
But these are like, people that are canceling with the intention of, you know, probably coming back for Mania.
Yeah, and that's, you least. Know... But that's the thing, is like, so I don't... If I am canceling the network... And that's the thing, is like, you know what? I will say, like, right after Mania... And it wore off quickly, but, like, in the moments after Mania...
Yeah.
...was the closest I've been in a long, long time. But, you know, I'm quitting. I'm done.
Yeah.
I am emotionally... I can no longer emotionally invest in this company that continues to do this.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, it was like, you know, maybe 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God, what?
Right. Yeah. It's a very momentary thing. Yeah.
But, you know, I do think that... I think that outcry was justified... But the way I felt in that moment was like, I'm done. I did not feel my I'm done emotion.
Yeah.
Did not have anything to do with, I need to let the world know that I'm done.
Right.
And I need to continue to watch the updates to just right. make sure I'm justified in my being done.
Precisely. Like,
and like,
the people that have to announce that they're done are the ones that, you know, are probably still going to watch the show or miss a couple weeks or miss a few months on the network or something, and then they're going to be right back. You know? The people that do it quietly, yeah, they're probably going to be gone forever.
Yeah.
At least for a long time.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is like, I do think, I would not be surprised if you lost some people with that rumble.
Right, you know, no, like, and I, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either.
But, and then at the same time, how else are you going to announce your displeasure?
True. Unless you do it on Twitter loudly, I mean, for the world to see, or cancel it and then tell them loudly so the world can see, fine. If you want people to know.
Well, that's the thing, is like...
But I'm also, you don't... Okay.
I can type hashtag Royal Rumble sucks forever and ever,
right.
and the most they'll acknowledge is, number one trending worldwide, hashtag Royal Rumble.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, that's the thing, is like, I mean... So, again... I'm grateful for those willing to cancel their account and make the statement that I'm right. not willing to make.
And see, yeah, that's, the true statement is, all these people canceling the network however, at the same time,
you know,
fine.
I will say this. If you had to pay separately for pay-per-views.
Yeah.
See, part of what the appeal to the network is to me is all the additional stuff.
Right.
That's what I'm not willing to give up.
Exactly. And that's where it's dumb to me to cancel.
But after seeing the Royal Rumble,
right,
knowing that the next one gets Fastlane,
yeah,
and I would be, it would be very easy to be like, you know what? And especially because Fastlane is up against the Oscars this year.
Right.
And it would be very, very easy for me to say, you know what? I'm gonna skip Fastlane. So if I had to pay, even if it wasn't, you know, old school pay-per-view $50 money,
mm-hmm.
if it's like $5 a pay-per-view or something in right. addition to your, I would feel very comfortable.
You personally,
like,
yeah.
I was like.
Because I don't know how much of our audience really care about the Academy Awards like we do.
Yes, but that's, I mean, even if it wasn't that,
If it was up against anything,
a more casual yeah. fan, it would be very easy to be like, you know what?
Fastlane, eh.
Rumble, and I'm gonna watch Mania. I don't need to watch Fastlane. It's not worth it.
Right.
And it would be very easy to make a financial statement of saying, I am not watching Fastlane.
Right.
I paid money for the Rumble and I got that. You are not getting my money for Fastlane.
Right.
That being said, they offer Fastlane for free, so.
For new subscribers though.
Yes, but, I mean, they also, if I'm willing to pay all the money for the library and the original content,
yeah,
then I'm getting Fastlane for no additional cost.
Right.
So I can't really be like, no.
Right.
This money that you're getting the exact same amount of money, but it's not for Fastlane.
Right, exactly. You can't specify on your monthly payment.
And I can't request to pay, you know, $7.99 because I'm not watching Fastlane, so I'd like to not pay for it, please.
Fair enough.
So.
So, yeah, does this mean I, you know, acknowledging that a lot of our audience didn't like what I had to say last week, does that mean I go back on what I said? Probably not. You know? And again, most of it was just me trying to voice an opposing view. I clearly would have much rather have seen Daniel Bryan win. I still don't think Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar main event is as bad as everyone was making out to be. And I know that wasn't the base of the argument. I know that.
That was the base of some people's argument.
Right. No, true.
I will stand by you. I'll sink on that ship with
yeah.
you. Was no, that is not,
no.
That is not the disaster that last year was.
Right.
But I still stand by there needs to be a call to arms this year.
Yeah.
Because of be so clear.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and we'll get into, I want to get into the podcast later on, but something,
okay.
Insanely telling, and it was just like, it was a blip in the podcast, and nobody's touched on this. It's driving me crazy that nobody's touched on this.
Okay.
There was a moment where he's talking about Vince.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Vince is like, well, I just book it, you figure it out. He just says that, like, just as like a passing thing, talking about that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's what happened with the Rumble! Vince demanded the ending.
Right.
And so everybody was stuck with that ending, and so they did their very best to try and make it okay. And that's the biggest problem that I had
right.
with the Rumble,
and
was that they forced that ending and spent the whole Rumble geared to trying to make it okay.
Right.
And
going a really bad, like, they're doing it incredibly badly
again,
to get to that same ending.
I don't care if it was bad or not.
Right.
My problem is that they knew we didn't want that ending, and
right.
they went, well, even if they did it brilliantly, I'd be an
yeah.
equal amount mad than I am right now.
Yeah.
And so, and again, I cannot, in good conscience, in good human morality, wish for, like, the death of Vince McMahon.
Right.
Like, that's a terrible thing to wish for. And, like, I mean, do I wish he would step down? Sure. Do I wish that Triple H or other people would have more control? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, I know that I can't get that.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, go to sleep at night and be like, it is worth it to me to wish death upon another human for better wrestling.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's, I'm not quite there as a person.
I mean,
but that just leaves me feeling conflicted, being like, I wish Vince McMahon would leave.
Fair enough. Like, it's more of like, I wish Vince McMahon would get a sense of, I would like to take a retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I want to spend my golden years with my family, or children, or grandkids.
Well, here's what I really think needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vince McMahon needs to try the XFL again, and pour all of his time and efforts into the XFL.
Let Triple H take
yes.
Yeah, no. I don't see any reality where Vince is still alive and WWE is a thing without him. And he not want to have some sort of input on it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see that happening.
You know what?
And even if he is putting all of his, if he does put all of his, you know, supposed attention to this revived XFL.
Also, you can.
He's still gonna be, like, calling Triple H, like, every 5 minutes.
And here's the thing. I don't even need Vince McMahon gone. Yeah. I still think, you know, he's out of touch, and I think most people feel that way.
Yeah.
But, he's still smart.
Yeah, no,
he still
absolutely.
Has good business sense. He is still, he's a intelligent man, and he has a mind mm-hmm. for this business that he grew up in, and by and large crafted and molded.
Right.
You know, that's not all gone. It's not a, there's a big difference between the somewhat out of touch older man that's running the business and the senile crazy person that he's sometimes painted as.
Yes.
I don't need him out of the business forever. I do think there are good ideas. I do think that there is benefit to Vince's years of experience and his input in on this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem comes with, at the end of the day, him having the final say.
Right.
Vince, the problem comes with Vince saying, and, you know, the thing is, like, I don't 100% know if that power just moved to Triple H, that somebody's saying, you know what, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
On everything.
Yeah.
You know, right. And like, if Vince still had, even if Vince had, like, the main event power, but he's like, you know what, whatever you say happens with the Intercontinental Championship, I'm gonna go with it, even if I disagree with it.
Right.
You Triple H, have the tag team titles, and the Intercontinental Champion, just take him to SmackDown.
Yeah.
And whatever you say goes on SmackDown goes on SmackDown. And, cause that's kind of where we're at with NXT.
Yeah.
It's the one thing where it really feels like, even if Vince has ideas or thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, and I gotta believe he does, even if he's not aware of everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta believe that Vince has some thoughts on the people in NXT, but at the end of the day, it's Triple H's call, not Vince's call.
Yeah.
And so that's what I, you know, so again, yeah, so one man, and it being Vince is maybe worse than if it was somebody else, but I'm wondering if one man making the call for this ultimate, you know, everything in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And they paint that like it's a great thing.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's one guy's call, and, you know, and I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I also understand that there has to be a CEO of a company.
Right, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's good to have, like, you know, when a decision needs to get made, you know, you don't have to debate it amongst a bunch of people. So one person can make that decision when a quick decision needs to be made.
Yeah.
Some things, yeah, it does need to get discussed. You know, obviously the Royal Rumble probably should have been as far as like the outcome at least, could have been a committee.
And, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, I understand somebody needs to be there and be like, when there's a decision made, this, we're making a call. Things like the winner of the Royal Rumble, the, you know, who is going to hold the title aloft at the end of WrestleMania.
Right.
Like these big things that we're talking about 6 months before they actually happen.
Right.
Maybe we put that to a vote.
Right, and not necessarily just what Vince wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there are other ways to go about it.
No, absolutely.
However, we do need to talk about, first and foremost,
yes.
The adjustments made to...
Yeah. The beginning of Damage Control.
Yes.
Raw, Triple H... A pretty good promo. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Had a nice little, you know, hashtag cancel the NFL network. Mm. That was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
That's about as close as we're going to get to them, you know, talking about it on Raw.
I mean, this is the closest thing to Triple H just showing up at the banner and was like, all right, you guys, oops.
Right.
Here's something different.
See, here's the thing.
Maybe this you'll like.
Here's the thing. The adjustments that he made on Raw... I was just happy he had acknowledged, like, the Daniel Bryan portion of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because for a while, it really sounded like the issue at hand that he was going to quote unquote talk about, you know, on Raw was going to be just like The Rock interfered.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to do something about that. Like, I was, for a moment, I was worried that that's all he was going to talk about. He was kind of goading, you know, everyone into, you know, believing he was going to fix all of our problems, and then he fixes nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but he addressed
but
it. And
The Rock interfered is a nice in kayfabe reason for Triple H to be upset.
Right. Right.
So.
Absolutely. That and Sting, apparently. Yeah.
Very good, sir.
Right.
A tip of the hat to you.
Right. But we also got the main event for Raw was Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins. Winner would face Roman Reigns at Fastlane for the chance to face Brock at WrestleMania. So it's a number one contendership match at Fastlane. Daniel Bryan ended up winning, so it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns at Fastlane. So, yeah, at least have this point where they're acknowledging Daniel Bryan never got any sort of rematch when he came back after getting the title taken off of him for injury.
Yes.
And so they're having him go in line for it and competition for it, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
Because both guys have claim, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the damage control for right now. Do you think it's going to go any further, or does Daniel Bryan lose cleanly to Roman Reigns at Fastlane?
I think Daniel Bryan's gonna win.
Okay.
And I think that because the way that the damage control has mapped out, what it looks like is at this point, WWE can have Roman Reigns win the championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or they can have Roman Reigns be a face.
Yeah.
They can't have both.
No.
And I think they're aware of that, and it looks like they are more, it's more important than they're trying to salvage Roman Reigns as a face.
Would that be the case if it was a triple threat? Roman Reigns being a face? Or do you think Daniel Bryan would?
Roman Reigns, like, fair is fair, I mean, he got booze, but he got less booze than I thought.
No, I got a pretty good, I, just from watching on my end, I felt like he got a pretty good reaction on Raw. Especially when he did the run-in at the end.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, he did a run-in, he did a gorgeous spear on Big Show.
I thought he, like, hurled his head at him. I was kind of, like, I think he, it looked great, but I think he jumped a little soon.
He
like,
did.
But he's jumping off the ramp, and
the thing is, he jumped a little soon, and seemingly corrected it by just defying gravity for a good 4 feet.
Right.
So, okay.
Right. I'm kind of tired of, you know, the whole Roman Reigns Big Show thing.
I am too, but
what? Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, what kind of, what you gonna do?
Right.
Like,
give them all something to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you remember all those months where Big Show just wasn't there? Can we kind of go back to that and just sweep him on the rug for right now?
Well,
but no, they have to have him something for WrestleMania.
The thing is, like, so, Roman Reigns, he got the, like, I want Daniel Bryan to be my challenger because he's a worthy competitor kind of thing. I told you, they could try and salvage this by turning Daniel Bryan heel. Well, here's what you do. If you open up Raw with the yes, yes, yes music. Mm-hmm. Everybody's waiting for him to come out. The whole crowd's doing the thing. And you have Daniel Bryan come out, suit and tie, clean shaven, like beard completely gone.
Right.
Hair cropped, like back to NXT length.
Right.
And just cuts a, like a, I bought into the Authority promo. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, you know what? I wanted that WrestleMania shot. And
I'm just saying, prepared for the rest of the WWE Universe to also buy in.
I mean, that's the thing. Is that, like,
I mean, Daniel Bryan, like, either directly or inadvertently, like, turned Shawn Michaels, Rey Mysterio, and The Rock heel. And Roman Reigns.
Okay, alright, you know what? Like, that's the thing. It's like, if you pull that trigger, and everybody, like, there's like that 2 second pause, and it was like, okay, yes, into the Authority now.
Right.
That's it. You dumped all the eggs into one basket.
Like, I fully believe if Daniel Bryan came out here and, like, did the classic heel, like, you know, I'm a bad guy now, I hate you all, you're all idiots, everyone would pause for, like, 2 seconds, like you said, and then, like, they'll start chanting, we're all idiots, we're all idiots.
That's the thing.
Be prepared to see those signs.
So, I don't know, that's the That's the one sneak way around it, is to try and... And, yeah, it's risky.
Yeah.
They never successfully turned CM Punk heel again.
No.
Like, they
no,
tried
and
so
as
hard.
Over as CM Punk ever was,
Daniel Bryan's more over.
Exactly. So. So, as far as, like, how do you justify, storyline-wise, Roman Reigns not being in the main event? Like,
well, if Daniel Bryan beats him, like, he put his...
Oh, yeah.
He willingly put his number
one
title.
But you can't have the winner of the Royal Rumble lose clean.
You don't think?
No. Not knowing WWE, knowing how big they still are on Roman, and they still believe he is their future. And I do, too. Just not now. Emphasis on future.
Okay.
So, I feel like they're going to have to do some sort of shenanigans. My guess is Seth Rollins does something to cost Roman Reigns the match at Fastlane. He loses, and you go ahead and start the Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns program now.
Yeah.
And have them go at WrestleMania.
I mean, that's the thing. Is Roman will probably challenge Seth Rollins at this point. Or, the only other thing is, like, maybe Randy Orton. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
his only one-on-one pay-per-view opponent.
Yeah.
Randy Orton.
Well, Daniel Bryan will be a one-on-one pay-per-view opponent.
True. So, he'll have two under his belt.
And that's the thing, is like, you know what? Honestly, a good long match with Daniel Bryan can do Roman Reigns a world of good.
Even if there's, like, shenanigans ending?
Yeah, no, part of the complaints about Roman Reigns that have started to crop up are... This, like, slow, repetitive, stale move set, not, you know. And the thing is, like, yeah, but part of that's because he's the powerhouse sweeper of a faction.
Right.
So you have...
That's all he was doing
You have two guys for flippies, and then you bring in Roman Reigns to Superman Punch. Like, he's had, again, like, one singles match to try out anything that wasn't the sweeper at the end of the... At the end of the match. So, you know, yeah, give him a good long let's go in the ring match with Daniel Bryan, who can make people look good.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, clearly the Daniel Bryan rub works a lot better than the John Cena rub these days.
Yeah.
Because they already tried to give Roman Reigns the John Cena rub, like, before he got hurt.
Well,
he was doing fine.
I mean, here's the thing is, bring up John Cena, like, everybody's against Roman Reigns right now.
Yeah.
But if WWE is to stay true to their, what we have now is not working, retreat mode, it's John Cena.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, honestly, I've seen so much positive, you know, comments about John Cena in the
last
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys, you get me. That's what I was telling you before.
Just because he's the lesser of two evils
That's the question is, okay, is John Cena's 13th year on top better or worse than Roman Reigns being on top in his second year in the WWE?
Probably. Because John Cena knows how to main event.
I mean,
and so, John Cena, you know, will pull out, you know, a 6th and 7th move of Doom.
Well, that's
when he needs to. When he needs to, guys.
That's the thing, is like, John Cena, what I would love to see for John Cena in the next 3 or 4 years is part of what really sucks about John Cena is he cannot get hurt. They cannot risk John Cena getting hurt. So unless it's WrestleMania or SummerSlam, he doesn't do great matches. He puts on pretty standard, pretty safe matches.
Right.
You know, you can't risk that getting hurt situation.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and so that's the thing is like, okay, so what if he could risk getting hurt? What if he was in the middle of the card? What if he was back to being in a spot where he had to steal the show, and the show wasn't his to have somebody else steal it from him?
Right.
John Cena has proven that he has the ability to go in those matches.
Yeah.
There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to, except for can't have that.
Right.
You know, we can't risk a Cena injury in Battleground because
it's Battleground.
Yeah.
And we need them for bigger stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so just kind of switching gears a little bit, but we're still on Raw. Is it becoming more and more obvious that Bray Wyatt's going to be facing Undertaker?
You think so?
Yeah, no, that's all I'm reading during all these promos. And they're great promos that he's doing.
I'm enjoying the crap out of him. Like, it feels like he's kind of got a renewed energy, but it just, it feels more and more that they're going the Undertaker route.
Okay. Are you looking forward then to a Bray Wyatt Undertaker match?
I am. You know, I always gotta worry about what condition Undertaker's in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, yeah, photos were coming up of him, like, at the airport, but no one looks good sitting around waiting at the airport.
Come on.
And we've had, you know, quote-unquote rough-looking pictures of Undertaker in the past, and then, you know, he goes on to have a great match with CM Punk, you know? Yeah. I don't know if this is where it's going. I would be excited for it. I would be interested to see what those two together, you know, could come up with. Because these are two guys that are, you know, 100% invested in their characters.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see guys like that kind of face off against each other. I don't know how that would go at the Mania. Like, I don't know who would... It would be one of those times where I legit, like, wouldn't know if Undertaker was going to win or not.
If it's Bray Wyatt, I'm gonna need Undertaker to win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't see this as, like, possibly a passing of the torch moment? Because I kind of see that.
Well, Bray Wyatt's not undefeated at WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt's 0-1 at WrestleMania.
I know.
So, I mean...
Not like passing the torch in that sense, but more like, you know, he's the...
From one creepy dude to another.
Right, he's the mysterious dude, you know, that everyone else is kind of behind right now, so... And he's probably going to be a guy that is... I feel like he's going to be a big mainstay for WWE for a long time.
The thing... So the flip side of the streak...
Mm-hmm.
Is that everybody remembers Undertaker losing last year.
Right.
Everybody's strongest memory of Undertaker is losing right now.
Yeah.
You know, unless, you know, there's, you know, a certain fan or two who remember a specific memory of Undertaker because they were there live when da-da-da happened.
Right.
But your strongest memory of Undertaker is him losing.
Yeah.
That's the bolt memories is this shocking moment of him losing. And it's a little bit of Chris Jericho. I'm like, oh, you beat Chris Jericho.
Right.
You know, and because it was such a monumental, searing loss in your mind, even though you can logically be like, it's still The Undertaker, and he still went 21-0, and beating him at WrestleMania is a beautiful, wonderful feather in your cap, because you are one of two people to ever beat Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because they will have happened back-to-back, and because your strongest memory of Undertaker right now is him losing,
yeah,
it's kind of like, you also beat Undertaker. Good job, I guess.
Right. It's just, so you think at least to the point where, if this isn't his last match, if this is his last match, do whatever you want. If he's planning on coming back next year, you should probably have him win.
Well, and that's the thing is like, so now that the streak is over, does Undertaker need to, I mean, if he's doing like a match a year, maybe two if you're lucky, I don't need it to be at WrestleMania anymore.
Right.
Like, I would much rather put some Undertaker rub on like Hell in a Cell. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I would, and an Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt match at Hell in a Cell, like you.
Yeah.
Take that same build up, you put it, and put those two guys in a Hell in a Cell. I don't know who's going to win. I'm much more invested in it.
Yeah.
And I think either way, Undertaker winning or Bray Wyatt winning, Bray Wyatt comes out looking better than he does beating Undertaker for the second year in a row at WrestleMania.
In a straight up and down match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough. I don't know. It's just part of me still thinks that they're at least going to hold out for Undertaker until they go to Texas next year.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably a more appropriate place that he's probably gonna finally, you know, call it quits.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the thing is, what else do you have for The Undertaker?
Right.
What else do you need for The Undertaker to do?
Right.
I mean.
What else is there that's worth it for him?
Yeah. For Mark personally, like what else does he want to do? And, you know, while I'm sure the WWE would love to have him at all the time and like always be willing to find a spot for him.
Yeah.
What else does creative really have for The Undertaker? Right. And I think
for a while, for the last few years at least, it's the streak, guys, you know, like that was the storyline. There was nothing else beyond that. And honestly, you know, had Paul Bearer unfortunately not passed away, you know, that's all the storyline would have been with CM Punk and Undertaker. It's like, I want the streak. Well, you can't have a streak, you know.
Yeah.
That would have been it, you know. Unfortunately, Paul Bearer passed away, and we ended up getting a whole different element.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then there was other times in the past where that was literally the storyline.
Yeah.
You know? Now we don't have that, so they're gonna have to come up with something.
I mean, that was the storyline for both Shawns.
Yeah.
Both
Triple H's.
And Triple H
had... Well, it was a little bit.
There was a little bit of, like, I need my second chance, and there was a little bit of, like, you know, Shawn tried and now it's my turn there.
Yeah.
But... You know, not so much, and so...
And the second year was like, you're a commodity, and I almost killed you last time, so mm-hmm. Let's not try to do that again.
But yeah, it's been so much like my turn at the streak.
Right.
You know, and again, if Undertaker is like, yeah, I'm ready to go, they'll find something for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what creative, like, genuinely or organically would have for him, I think Bray Wyatt would be... the quick answer, because it's creepy guy to creepy guy.
Right.
And
honestly, until they decided the whole Brock Lesnar thing, I would have picked Bray Wyatt to face Undertaker last year.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to beat him or anything like that, but, like, if, I think, cause I think that's what I
predicted the year before.
I believe so. I might have stuck with Brock and Undertaker, cause it was kind of obvious there for a little while.
I went Brock and Undertaker for the 2 years before it, and then didn't go.
Fair enough.
Brock and Undertaker. And that's the thing, because I've still never predicted it. Nobody's ever predicted a correct one.
No, I think I predicted Cena and Taker for 30.
You might have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was still on the, you know, well, he hasn't faced Undertaker,
mm-hmm.
thinking that it was just, and again, even then, I was like, well, they announced it was going to be in Texas, so he just needs to get through 30 to keep the undefeated streak alive, and then just go to 31.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Who do you have for Cena? Who is it looking like Cena might be facing?
I still think it's Rusev. I feel like shenanigans are going to go down a fast lane, makes the whole feud, like, intensify or whatever.
Okay.
Like, I still think it's going to be Rusev.
Okay. So what you're seeing is Rusev wins at Fastlane, rematch at WrestleMania for Cena to win.
Right. You know, I'm thinking, like, something goes down and Rusev chickens out or something like that, or something along those lines where they don't get to fight a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know? Because mm-hmm. you know that, like, a lot of times they don't like, you know, guys that are facing off against each other at WrestleMania to necessarily face each other a lot leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So... I don't know. I feel like some shenanigans are going to go down in Fastlane, and it's going to lead to some sort of weird, you know, stipulation probably at WrestleMania.
Okay. So here's the thing. When Cena beats Rusev, whether it's at Fastlane or at WrestleMania, is John Cena the United States champion?
Might as well.
And so, I mean...
Is he going to bring back the Spinner USA belt? Is that what you're leaning to?
Well, I mean, if he did, I would be fine with that. Because what else do you do with that title? But that's the thing, is like, you know, when John Cena was, you know, just WWE champion for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Finally went for the heavyweight, and the first thing he did was like, let's combine this with the,
right.
with the WWE championship. So now you're like,
all right, well, Intercontinental Championship, looking at you, you know?
So you're just going to start smushing belts together to... Build himself a giant Super Cena belt.
It's going to be the Intercontinental of the United States of America Championship.
World Heavyweight Championship. The WWE United States Intercontinental World Heavyweight Championship.
Of the
Tag world. Team. Divas.
Of the world.
TNA.
Yeah, not pretty much. Should we get into the interview?
Let's go to the interview.
All right, so just overall thoughts. And...
Do this every week. Do Paul Heyman next.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or
even
Stephanie.
Even though Paul Heyman's been on the...
I don't care. Do Paul Heyman. Do Stephanie. I'd watch that one.
I'd watch a lot of people. Nope. PG
Classy
show.
Ring attire.
Classy ring attire. Be proud that I stopped myself. Okay? That's vast improvement. It's a sword.
Or Vince again. Or Vince again.
Like, you know, because I'm sure there was a lot of stuff that Stone Cold didn't get to last time.
Or Kevin Dunn. Let's...
Yeah, let's
see what he has to say. I don't care.
Yeah, it would be interesting to, you know, honestly, it would be interesting to see a lot of guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to get some face time with some of the guys that don't normally get to open up a lot of themselves, that's a good way. Hell, like, dear Lord, as much as Stone Cold loves Cesaro, have that sucker on the podcast, you know?
Well,
it would just be nothing but a love fest, obviously.
I mean, the thing is with Cesaro still, I think Cesaro has a lot of things he wants to say about the WWE that he can't and won't say on the WWE's network.
I don't know, he might just be too nice for that. He seems like a pretty nice guy.
He does seem like a pretty nice guy. But again, there is some biting the hand that feeds you, even if they only feed you scraps.
Right.
You know? I think Triple H, it was a very interesting thing to have Triple H, in full kayfabe, stand there at the end of Raw and be like, "You'll see what I have to say on the podcast." And you can walk onto the stage, and then it's like,
okay, he sits down. He takes his tie off, and he's got his top button unbuttoned, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?"
And he sits down, it's like, "Is KFAB dead?" "Yeah, it's dead."
"Yeah, no, yeah, yeah."
And he's like, "Alright, just go ahead and flip that switch."
Yeah. Even though he just literally was in character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the thing, from the hours of 8 to 11:15, it's this character, and it's always this character.
Yeah. But I don't agree that kayfabe is completely dead. It just means that you have to try a little bit harder. To either make it believable, or just, I don't know, or try to do something different. You know? Because obviously, kayfabe's still alive, because we got people like Bray Wyatt.
I mean, part of it is what do you consider, when you say that word, what exactly are you talking about? Because, you know, if I'm not talking to wrestling fans, mm-hmm. I say in storyline. Or right. I say, you know, it's hard to explain, all right, so kayfabe is this thing where it's what they believe in when they're in the ring, and you know, it's the essence of, and you're like, well, it's hard to, storyline.
So you're saying kayfabe is like Jesus?
Well, that's the thing, what exactly do you mean when you talk about that?
Right.
So, Triple H said some stuff there that I'm not sure Triple H fully believed, and it really felt like he was just pandering to the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he said that got a lot of people, you know, either excited or happy or whatever. A lot of people, a lot of the comments were, we've seen these comments a few times, you know, "Oh, I can't wait for the day whenever Triple H
takes over,
whatever."
Yeah.
And I mean, you gotta take some of the stuff that he says with, a grain of salt, because, and honestly, there was a lot of times where he just kind of passed the buck to Vince. Mm-hmm. "Oh, that's a Vince decision," or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure, it might be a Vince decision, but a lot of it has Triple H's fingerprints on him, you know?
Well, the thing is, when Triple H has clearly gone on the internet, has,
right,
you know, looked at dirt sheet sites, gone to Squared Circle, done whatever, because I'm sure that he has.
Clearly he listens to Class of Ring Attire.
Of course. Right. When he does that, and then when he, you know, when he says something, whether he believes it or not, but there is a certain level of intent to get a rise or a reaction out of, you know, or to admonish that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Triple H says he's fine and doesn't have a problem with CM Punk.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe him.
Right. And again, also, judging from what we know about Punk, about his personality, what other people have said, him also saying, I would hear all these things from other people saying that, "Oh, he's mad at you," whatever, and he goes up to him, "Hey, what's going on? What's wrong?" And Punk saying, "Nothing." You know? And just kind of, shrugging off. That, I could see that being the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that one might have been genuine. He probably played it down some.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know what? Honestly, I cannot fault Triple H for today, in this day and age, with this atmosphere, with everything that's gone down. If Triple H had a problem with CM Punk, yeah, I could not blame him. You know?
Yeah.
Part of me wants to see him get over yourself, and wants CM Punk back.
Right.
But if that's true, I mean, you know what? If he's like, "You know what? It's a, there's a level of difficulty to working with it."
Yeah.
And it's not worth it emotionally for me, and it's not worth it mm-hmm. for the company to try and deal with this. Not worth the headache.
Right.
I'm like, I understand that.
Right.
I don't like it, but, But the thing is, when he says something, whatever it is, to intentionally get a rise out of people, is that not some level
of kayfabe? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're working for a heel reaction. Or a reaction in general.
Yeah.
Whether it be face or heel. Yeah. No, yeah. Got a point.
You know, he talked about going back to 2 hours. And, I mean, even if Triple H fully 100% wants to go back to 2 hours, in some level, that's like, you know, this, a lot of people feel this way. And let me say this to kind of agree with them.
Right.
Is kayfabe dead?
Depends on how you define it.
It depends on how you define it. Yeah. Like, I mean, living the gimmick is dead.
Yeah.
Not for Hulk Hogan, but...
Not for Hulk Hogan, not really so much for Undertaker, not so much for Bray Wyatt. You know, those kind of guys. Everyone else?
I mean...
Iron Sheik, yeah.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt also...
He'll do interviews out of character.
He'll make a wish. He'll grant a wish for Make-A-Wish Foundation. And that's kind of the thing, is like... You know, there's that, you see Batista being buddy-buddy with Connor, and, you know, I was like, you know what? That living the gimmick is dead. We all can accept that you're a character in the ring and a person outside the ring. And so, but any sort of level of, you know, saying this to get this right, standing in the ring and saying cancel the NFL Network.
Yeah.
I like it. It's not dead.
Yeah, no.
MF's not dead. There is, because, you know what? You live in this WWE universe, which is this weird alternate universe.
Right.
Where cancel the NFL Network was trending.
Right.
I think it was Joe Quesada who runs Marvel Comics. If not, it was somebody who worked for Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Was doing an interview on the Colbert Report at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was right after Colbert ran for president.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know what? In the Marvel universe, you're winning the presidency right now. You're in the polls, ahead in the polls in that universe.
Right.
And so that's kind of like, in the WWE universe, cancel the NFL Network was trending. It's the exact same as our universe, but wrestling's real and tiny, weird, different tweaks.
And Al Gore won the election in 2000. So it's like
one little different tweak here.
He really did create the internet, blah, blah, blah.
There was an interview with Stone Cold that was weird and different, and full angry in character Triple H was doing that interview. And that interview, like, it never happened in the real world, so we don't know what it was, but in the WWE Universe world, it totally happened.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird once a week glimpse, or four times a week, depending on how much you watch, glimpse into this weird parallel universe.
Alright.
So
I mean, I can understand. Yeah,
it's not dead. It's just it's evolved.
Right, it's something.
And different. And I don't want to call it like 2.0 or 8.0 or whatever, because I feel like a doof.
Because they're all children, as I said last week.
I do want to say I think Triple H handled the China question
perfectly.
Very well. Good job, sir.
Yeah, very much saying like she deserves it, but she's not doing herself any favors. Like, that sort of... Like, he didn't say it like that, clearly, because that's how I would have said it, and I would have been just... You know, I would have been dragged through the mud if I had said something like that, or if he had said something like that. But essentially, that's what he said.
Well, I mean, there's...
In a nicer way. Trying not to offend anyone on both parties.
Well, that's the thing, is like to a much greater extent, you have Chris Benoit... Who, based on his in-ring career alone, should be in the Hall of Fame.
Based on all his career alone.
He will not be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And in the whole world, probably shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No.
So, and
just like Mike Tyson, probably shouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame. That's the one thing, because I know a lot of people are like that, were like, well, if China isn't in the Hall of Fame, why is Mike Tyson in?
Well,
you know,
There's a fair chance that X-Pac might be in the Hall of Fame one day.
True.
Which would make the China thing extra awkward.
Yeah. Because of reasons.
Because of reasons.
That you can Google. But also, it was funny that, you know, there was a lot of Buddy talk, or Buddy Rogers talk. And then, you know, I think, Triple H tweet is like, go find Buddy Rogers on the network. And he searched it and literally nothing came
Buddy
up.
Buddy Rogers isn't on the network.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, sign up.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, like, I'm assuming they have some Buddy Rogers footage in the library somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, just quick throw that up on the network.
Right. Just like, you know, like searching guys like Magnum TA and you see like one match.
Yeah.
You know? It's just that they haven't put it on there yet.
I mean, so
it might be a nice, you know, Buddy Rogers pack coming.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, now's your chance to do it. You know, it's not, there's not really going to be like another chance for a high kick in Buddy Rogers traffic.
Right.
So.
Triple H, he handled the China thing incredibly well.
He handled the China thing very well.
That whole weird word association thing was, it could have been awkward, but he handled that pretty well.
Yeah.
So I guess a lot of people are like, he's going to say Chris Benoit next. I don't see Stone Cold doing that.
No, I mean, Stone Cold
he's not doing it to be, he's doing it because he knows these are answers that people want to hear, whatever.
Yeah.
He's not trying to, you know, make his guests uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is he's done a very good job on both of these interviews.
Yeah.
Asking questions I wanted to know.
That art can be tough questions.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like yeah. when they said it was gonna happen with Vince initially, and you're like, they're gonna softball this so bad.
Right.
And then the Punk, podcast happened, mm-hmm. and we were like, oh, they're gonna softball it so bad, and it's gonna be extra awkward now.
Yep.
And he didn't, but he also brought up Macho Man, and yeah. that was kind of like, you know what? I do want to know that. Thank
and
you.
And it was one of those things where it's like, I didn't have in my head, like, oh, I wish you would ask me about this. But yeah, no, I would like an answer on that. Like,
yeah.
The same thing with China. Like, I had no idea it was going to get brought up, and I never really would have expected it to. But I'm glad he did, because I wanted to know what WWE stands
for. It's nice for somebody to say something instead of sitting here and speculating on, like, what it probably is, but, you know, we'll see.
And, you know, it's an interesting, like, viewpoint of, like, it can be a message to current legends and future legends. Is like, if you want to be in the Hall of Fame, you know, you got to be conscious of what your image is.
Yeah.
You know.
And the same thing is like, but he talked about, you know, mending fences, mm-hmm. you know, repairing those burnt bridges, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, and now he should talk about CM Punk. Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, I didn't even think he would, because again, it's a tough question. It's an uncomfortable question.
And, you know, he's
covered it before.
Right. And, you know, the fire's kind of died down a little bit on that,
mm-hmm.
now that he's definitely with the UFC.
Yeah. But at the same time, I really am glad he's like, you know what, Triple H, I want your take on this as well.
Right.
So, again, Stone Cold, in both cases, has handled the interview incredibly well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I would love to see interviews with anybody else, anybody who's willing to sit down there.
Yeah.
If this could be like a quarterly thing or a bi-monthly thing.
At least quarterly, you know, at the very least. Mm-hmm. I would love monthly, but, you know.
I would love it monthly.
But I understand that they won't be able to.
Yeah.
You know, because and some of these guys that, you know, because we're talking about, like, oh, he can have this person as a guest, we have that person as a guest, you know, and then, like, sprinkle in some Vince McMahon and Triple H's just so we can get, like, kind of take the temperature of the WWE.
That's the thing, it's like, it's a little bit of a State of the Union.
Right.
You know?
Mm.
And that's kind of nice to get.
Yeah.
And it's made possible in a word. Like, I'm watching DVD commentary, you know, of an hour of the past 30 or 40 hours of
right.
footage that the WWE has made canon, and I'm watching like an hour long commentary on it.
Right.
But it's kind of nice to get that update.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
of all the former wrestler podcasts that have popped up in the past year,
mm-hmm.
which seems like thousands.
It does.
Stone Cold's definitely hit his stride.
Well, that's the thing, is like, because I, you know, Stone Cold, he was one of the early ones, and I was like, all right, let's see what's
up. Yeah, no, he was one of the first ones, I think.
And, like,
as far as WWE guys.
Yeah, as far as, well, cult as far as like as far as non Scotty Goldman WWE guys.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But no, it was the one, and I remember listening to the first one being like, oh, yeah. Oh, and I was, cause I also remember it, like, it announcing it was gonna happen, I'm like, this is gonna be, we are like, a 50-50 chance of getting Ramblings of a Crazy Man, the podcast.
Right.
Like, because I also did not, I hadn't gotten a lot of unedited Stone Cold.
Right.
Like, I got, you know, I got, the character,
right.
Stone Cold.
But the man, the actual but, person.
Yeah, the person, Steve Austin. And I knew there was, like, I knew there was essences of him in Stone Cold the character.
Right.
And I also knew if Stone Cold the character was a real person, they would be a crazy person.
Yeah, no, he would definitely be committed, yes.
Yeah. And so, like, so I didn't know, you know, and I kind of did because I watched Tough Enough.
Yeah.
And, like, but it's still, you know, very much edited. And I watched, he had, like, the Hall of Fame speech, but at the same time, like, You control yourself in that. Right. It's not the same as him sitting down and talking to a microphone. But I'll be if Stone Cold isn't a fantastic interviewer.
No, yeah. No,
good job.
He worked out the kinks. I like that he acknowledged that he doesn't like doing interviews over the phone mm-hmm. and recording that. Because just having it in person is so much better.
It is.
That's what we always prefer ourselves mm-hmm. whenever we have guests or whatever. Interview, it's great because you can actually feed off that person's energy, and
yeah.
sound quality is way better.
It is.
So I love that he tries to keep that. He tries to have it one-on-one.
Yeah.
In person. You know, other guys like Chris Jericho, he'll have people on the phone all the time, and it's just, Which is, you know, why I'm kind of glad that he's doing this house show deal with WWE that he has now. Like, he's not on the main shows, but he'll do house shows. Which means he's around WWE guys, so he'll actually have in-person interviews with them.
Right.
So that works fine.
Makes it
but
nice.
But he seems to be a lot more content with, oh, we'll just do this interview over the phone.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that.
Mm-mm. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I try and I can't, guys.
No. Mm-mm.
So.
That, when you have 15, 20-minute intros where you're talking about who cares.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this one time at this one concert or this one party with this one famous person, or I'm going to promote myself for the next 15 minutes.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, I, you know, I have a podcast, so, right. like, and there's a lot of ways to do a podcast.
Right.
And I'm not going to be like, we do it right, and everybody else does it wrong.
No.
Because there are people, like, I will listen to other podcasts, like, God, they're doing that so much better than I am.
Right. Like, honestly, and I'm not trying to, like, put over another podcast, but I feel like we put this one over a lot. If anyone does it right, it's Colt Cabana, honestly.
Colt Cabana, I mean,
he's got, like he'll get some stuff out of the way at the beginning.
Yeah.
He'll might give a little bit of an intro, but he'll get to the interview.
I mean.
And then he'll do all the plugs and stuff at the end.
My biggest beef with Colt Cabana is he'll be like, you know him, you love him, the guy who's wrestled 4 times in Norway, everybody's favorite. I'm like, I've never heard of that guy, what are you talking
right.
about?
Right. Well, yeah.
Like,
and a lot of times, like, a lot of his shows depend on who he has on.
Yeah.
Which is why we don't have anyone on. You're just here for us, you guys.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and with Colt also, except for Sam Punk, I don't think he's ever had anybody on twice.
Colt Clifton.
Okay.
Because he has t-shirts, because he was for a while, he was the only guy that's ever been on twice.
Okay.
I forgot what the numbers were, but he, like, literally had t-shirts made of it.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Cliff Compton, is that what I said? Cliff Compton, yes.
Yeah.
Can't remember if I actually said his name right.
So, well, I mean, and that's the kind of thing, is like, he's very biographical. He takes the guy from the beginning. He's like, all right, what are your roots?
Right.
Where did
yeah.
you first start wrestling?
Especially guys that, are lesser known on independent circuits, or, you know, guys in WWE that we just don't know a whole lot about. You know, we see him on TV, we just don't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he does always have great, great audio.
Yeah.
So, good job for that.
He's also a guy that believes in doing it one-on-one in person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or at least, you know, Skype or something. I don't know.
Whatever does,
it's working. Yes.
He does the audio right, yeah.
Wow, we're getting a lot of our feelings on, like, podcasting in general out today.
Well, it is. I mean, that's, you know, we've done this for a couple years now.
Yeah. This will be our third year in the winter.
Yeah. I was doing it before that.
Oh, God. What are we going to do for episode 200?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. 100 was so much work.
It was a lot of work to do that one. Well, let's do an extra short one for 200.
He's like, hey, thanks guys, and over. Say classes.
Do you have anything else that we
I don't know. I will say this. If there's something that you guys want us to do for episode 200, go ahead and send those to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
Start thinking about it now.
Yeah, so if we have to put a lot of planning into it, I'll make a cake. Someone make us a cake for episode 200. We'll take a picture and give you the credit online.
Somebody
make us a cake.
I have no idea
what have we do been doing this for almost 3 years and we haven't got a cake out of this yet?
You know, 200 will be 40 years, right?
It will be.
Approximately.
We've done it 3 years, yeah. No, yeah, we've done it 3 years.
Yeah, we're past
3 years. Oh, I'm so old and bad at math. Yeah, no, you're right. 4 years.
So, what's making you happy wrestling-wise?
Oh, wrestling-wise, the fact that they are doing something about fixing.
Okay.
You know, the fact, I don't know exactly how much they're going to fix or what's going to happen beyond Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're like, all right, we did it, you know, we acknowledged it, but we're still going to go on with our plans. I wouldn't be happy, but at least they didn't acknowledge it, that, you know, they had screwed up. That's pretty much it wrestling-wise, I guess. The interview was really good.
The Stone Cold one, not the actual movie.
The interview actually was funnier than I was expecting.
All right, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
I've seen the poster on Netflix. There you
go. Non-wrestling wise, got a couple things. My sister, she got a job here in Greensboro, and she got she just got approved for an apartment, so she's gonna be moving up here on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy for her. I'm glad she's gonna be up here. Second of all, we get to watch Angels in the Outfield this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a big, well, not big, but we're going to have a get together with all of our people and we're going to watch Angels in the Outfield because why not? Because reasons.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Making me happy non-wrestling wise.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl. The last 6 minutes of the Super Bowl were just amazing.
It was.
Just nonstop thrill ride action.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Still the reaction of Richard Sherman. Just,
oh.
I don't know how to describe it, just like the horror on his face.
It's the noise. Oh.
It's like someone had shown him a large, pasty white butt. You know? Just that look.
Just from the impossible catch made possible.
Yeah.
To the interception of the year.
And because of the dumbest play call of all time.
To the fake out over jump. To the incredible fight.
Yes.
To the 20 plus yard penalty. It could not have been booked better.
Yeah.
If it was not fake, it's scripted football.
Yeah, no, because that was what we sent out on a class of ring attire. Like, whoever booked this Super Bowl needs to get hired by WWE now.
No, it was.
And then the Patriots kicked out at two.
It was amazing. Also, extra unwrestling related, making me happy. There's a sequel to Kill the Mockingbird coming out.
I saw a headline for that. I didn't actually read the article or anything like that, but yeah, that's, interesting.
It's not called To Kill Two Mockingbird, which is a swing and a miss, I feel, but
To Kill Two Mockingbirds with a Stone?
To Kill Two Mockingbird. Or To Kill a Mockingbird 2, Electric Boogaloo Radley. It's hilarious. It's hilarious if you read the book.
No, I'm laughing. You dork.
Yep. That's my literary joke for the week.
You've got three people laughing so hard right now out of the five people that are listening. So, hey, that's majority. Good job.
Good job. Wrestling-wise, honestly, what's making me thrilled is that they acknowledged Curtis Axel was upset.
Yeah, and then had Dean Ambrose just dump him like, look, now you're eliminated. Now, it would have been best if that's where the segment ended. Like, Dean Ambrose like, now you're eliminated. Boom. Done. Hit his music.
However they ended it, like, that's fine, whatever. But the fact they're like, you know what? I mean, because you have 3 hours. Let's fill some time with, like, an indignant Curtis Axel. And I got a nice shot of Curtis Axel doing the WrestleMania sign point.
Yeah.
And it's like, so just like...
The dream starts here,
guys. That's the thing, is like, I have images of The Rock doing that, I have images of John Cena doing that point, and Curtis Axel is now among them, doing the point to the sign. Good job, Curtis Axel.
Way to go.
You go, Glenn Coco.
But you know who else you got?
What?
Images of that? You got Sheamus doing that, so don't be so high and mighty about it.
Yeah.
And Alberto Del Rio.
I mean, I like Alberto, don't I?
Yeah, but Sheamus.
Also, I guess making me happy, I haven't actually checked it out, so it can't technically be making me happy yet, but New Japan's network is free for the month of February well.
Okay, I did hear that.
So, I need to get on that, because I'm wasting February, and February's not that long of a month.
No, it's not.
But, yeah.
We're on February 4th, the month is almost over already.
February flies by. So, I'm tentatively gonna say that's making me happy, cause I haven't done it yet.
That is going to make you happy.
that is what's making me happy next week, I am sure.
Fair enough.
Alright. That it?
Yep, that's it.
Alright. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you have ideas for episode 200, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Look us up there. You can subscribe and get new episodes every single time we make them. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. All that stuff just really helps out the podcast.
Right. And if you have, if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, or I'm sorry, let me,
Because they changed it.
InsidePulse.wrestling.com. That's not it either. Cut that. InsidePulse.com/wrestling.
There you go.
That's the one.
You got this.
Send us a comment on there. Leave me all your hate messages for
me. If you can even find us, send us a comment.
If you can find us.
In this internet hole of 404 pages that Chris sent you down.
Or if you, like I said, you just want to just talk about how much of an idiot you still think I am, send those over on there on Inside Pulse Wrestling
stuff. We're also on Facebook, trucking all along with Facebook likes. You can be one of those. It's super fun and all the cool kids are doing it.
Leave hateful comments on there too. I don't care.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah, you animals.